Pakistani security forces have cleared hundreds of anti-government protesters from the state television studio after they seized the building and briefly took the channel off the air. International observers have said the vote in last year's election was largely free and fair, but the opposition charges Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif with massive fraud. The protesters are demanding his resignation. They stormed into Pakistani television, which carried live coverage of the demonstrators in its offices in the capital, Islamabad. Later in the day, police fired tear gas as the demonstrators tried to reach the Prime Minister's residence. At the television station, the opposition leader, cricketer-turned-politician Imran Khan, told the demonstrators that Mr. Sharif has no moral standing to continue to lead Pakistan. Khan is vowing not to call off the anti-government protests until the Prime Minister resigns. Here in Washington, State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki said the United States supports the right of peaceful protest, but urged the demonstrators and the government to show restraint. Police have also attacked television crews and reporters covering the protests. Police have been seen dragging journalists out of vans and beating them, some seriously hurt. A government minister has promised to investigate brutality against the press. Daybreak Asia's Ira Melman spoke about the protests with Michael Kugelman, senior associate for South Asia with the Washington-based Woodrow Wilson Center.
Well, really, these protests had been in place for the last few weeks, but they had been quite peaceful. There had been very little violence, really, until over the weekend. And what we've been told is that the protest leaders had essentially decided that it was time to move forward, that their demands weren't being met, and that it was time to make a strong statement by getting closer to these key government facilities. And the protest leaders, Imran Khan and Tahir al-Qadri, have insisted that they are not promoting violence in these protests. So they're saying that the violence that is being committed is coming from essentially splinter-type protesters, those that are not attached to the formal group. What I fear, though, is that in reality what's happening is that certain elements of the security establishment that are more hardline than the security establishment on the whole are essentially encouraging, independently, not from edict of the state, but encouraging these protesters to put even more pressure on the government that's already happening by taking more dramatic measures, such as going toward the parliament and maybe causing some disturbances, some violence.
What is the rift between the military then and the government in place?
Well, there are all types of rifts. The current Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif, has a long history of not getting along with the military. He was overthrown from power when he was previously Prime Minister. He was overthrown by the military. So there's a history. But what you have right now in the barely one-year period that he has been in office is disagreements over the status of former military leader and President Pervez Musharraf, who Sharif decided to put on trial for treason. The military does not like that. The military is also very unhappy with Nawaz Sharif's decision to try to improve relations with India, of course an arch enemy of Pakistan, and also to improve relations with Afghanistan. And there are also some other disagreements that involve how to handle domestic militants. Nawaz Sharif wanted to pursue negotiations with the Pakistani Taliban instead of actually launching some sort of military operation against the Pakistani Taliban. The military was much more impatient, didn't want the talks to happen. So there are all types of issues here, and also there's just personality issues. Nawaz Sharif has always, as I said before, pushed back against the military. And in a country like Pakistan, where the military reigns supreme and is the most powerful institution, for a civilian government leader to do that, it will get you in trouble, invariably.
Do the protesters, does Imran Khan and the other leaders of the protests have a point when they say that the election that brought Nawaz Sharif into power was fixed? I believe that they were observed by international observers, the election. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. No, I think it's clear that there probably was a bit of rigging in the election in Pakistan last year. Unfortunately, this is a reality of elections in this part of the world. There is fraud that's committed, but there has never been any explicit evidence of widespread rigging or fraud. As you say, the international observers found that to be the case, and also there's never been any decision from any entity in Pakistan. The political opposition has taken these claims to the courts in Pakistan, and the courts have refused to act on them because they just don't think there's enough there to go on. And I really think that these election rigging allegations are really being used as a pretext by the political opposition simply to put pressure on the government, because unlike in neighboring Afghanistan, there really is very little evidence that there was rigging in an election that, after all, happened more than a year ago.
Are the protesters representative of the majority of the population of Pakistan?
No, I mean, it's hard to say in a country like Pakistan. There have been some surveys and polls about what the general public thinks of the protests and the protesters, and for the large part, the answer has been overwhelmingly no. There has not been much support for these protesters. Surveys, though, are a risky thing in Pakistan. I would argue, though, nonetheless, that there is a very strong desire for democracy in Pakistan, and I think that a good part of the country sees these protests, so long as they're peaceful, as okay. But when it comes to calls for the government to resign, which is essentially what the protesters want, and calling for them to resign based on very spurious allegations of rigging, this suggests an extrajudicial effort to remove the government. Certainly, the general population, I think, has sympathy for the various grievances protesters have brought to the table, such as the fact that the government is corrupt and that there's a rotten system and that things need to be redone. Sure, there's a lot of sympathy for that, but the way that the protesters are going about it, I think, does not find much support among the general public.
Prime Minister Sharif has been steady, has been rock solid on his intention, at least publicly so far, of not stepping down. Where do you see this whole thing going?
We could be reaching a key moment in the next, the next few days, this week. A Pakistani parliament is expected to convene soon, and I think that once that happens, the protesters may try to do more. They may try to actually storm into the parliament, attack parliamentarians, and I think at that point, Sharif will have to answer a question as to whether he allows more force to be used against protesters. And if these protests really get violent and if there's a major counter-response from the state, from the police, I mean, and that hasn't happened yet, that could really make things ugly, and it's at that point where the military may really come down hard on Sharif and pressure him to resign.
Michael Kugelman, Senior Associate for South Asia with the Washington-based Woodrow Wilson Center, speaking with Daybreak Asia's Ira Melman.